All right, Matthew 28, verse number 9, where we're going to pick up the study. Before I get into this, I had something I was going to go over with you, but I was looking at some news articles and studying for a completely different subject, and I ran across this thing, and here's a Palestinian. He's got his face wrapped up. The only thing you can see is his eyes. And he's got a shirt on that says, Palestine versus everybody. Now, whenever I saw that, my mind, you can't beat this Bible now. The Bible explains everything. So when I'm, as far as introduction to our study, I want you to know that everything that goes on in the world, the Lord knew about it. And it's all predicted in the Bible. If y'all will remember, Abraham, and we talked about it a little bit last Sunday, had two sons, one by Hagar, which was not his wife. And then one by what the Bible calls the free woman, by Sarah. And he had Isaac by Sarah, and Ishmael he had by Hagar. And you know what the Bible said? The Lord said this of Ishmael. In Genesis 16:11, it says, "And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction, and he will be a wild man, his hand will be against," watch this, "every man." This guy, he's a Palestinian. That's what they are, Palestine. All right, "in every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." That's exactly what's going on today. He's over there in the presence of all your people over there in the Israel nation, the Israelites, the Jews. He's over there, and it's a constant thing, and he's against everybody. It ain't just that he's against Israel. Y'all, they're against everybody. And they let that what he's got on his shirt, they let you know. You know what I've got? I've got a Word of God that predicted it a long time ago.
Yes,
nothing new under the sun. God saw it all. And you know what? As we're reading his Bible, we can trust every single word of it. Why? The Bible is the only book that attempts prophecy. These other people attempt prophecy, they fall flat on their face. And so, as with that, we'll pick up with Matthew 28, verse 9 at that paragraph mark. Now, here's an excellent devotional verse. The Bible says, "And as they went," I've got "as they went" underlined, "to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them." Now, I've got underlined in my Bible, "as they went, Jesus met them." You know why a lot of people don't run into the Lord Jesus very much? Because they don't go anywhere. They don't do nothing.
Yeah.
They don't go for Jesus. I went over to my neighbor's house when I was a kid one time. We used to ride four-wheelers a lot. And I went over to my buddy's house, and man, he just had a long face. And we got some trails around creeks and stuff we'd ride in. And I said, "What's wrong, buddy?" He said, "Man, my four-wheeler." "That's what's wrong with it." He said, "It won't go." He didn't know what was wrong with it. He just knew it wouldn't go. Now, you know what's wrong with a lot of folks? I don't know exactly what they're... A lot of different people have different issues. But you know what the main issue, the thing that you can't... They just won't go. He said, as they went, they met Jesus. What if they just stayed? You know why a lot of people aren't in the will of God, as far as they say, "I wonder what the will of God..." They don't never do nothing to be in the will of God to be doing. You know what? A lot of people say, "I wish I was in the ministry." Well, just get out and start doing something is all you got to do. There's people who've got successful sign ministry. What was it, Mr. Hicks, that got started that sign ministry? And we got those signs, we order those signs. And matter of fact, that one we put up, if you notice that one we put up down there on Highway 5, somebody's taking it down. You know what we're going to do? We're going to order another and put another right back up. It's gone. Yeah, it's gone. But you know, a lot of people like to sit over there at that road, at the mouth of that road up there, and they like to sit there and hang out and drink and turn a couple back, you know. And whenever they saw that sign over there, it said, "For now it is time to seek the Lord." They didn't like it. Probably took that thing down. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to order some more. I'm getting another right back up where it is and put another two or three up down through there in other places. But what I'm saying is, a lot of people wonder, what can you do for ministry? You know what some people do? There are people in nursing homes, and they get these cards, and they just send cards to people. Bible verses. Y'all, that's a ministry. You know what some people do? They can't preach or nothing else. You know what they do? They support people who can preach, and they support many. Look, I can't. That's why we try to help a missionary. If God called me, I like to think, and I want to say in my heart, I know my flesh goes against me. If God called me to a different country, I would go. But at the same time, I'd rather stay here and preach to y'all so I can support other people who go. See how that thing works? They met Jesus. You know what? As you'll go for Jesus, and you'll meet Jesus, and you and him will be walking along. And he'll show you other things as you go. But it is a devotional thing. I see in that right there. I see a lot of people who could be doing things, and they say, "Well, the Lord just hadn't called me to do anything." Well, just go out and start doing, man. That's like a lot of people, and I know I've spent too much time on this already, probably. But a lot of people, y'all, they say, "Ain't no jobs out there." You lazy joker! I tell you something. I know that y'all probably say, "Well, that's his hobby hold." But I tell you what, I do not like is laziness. It's different if you can't do something. I believe that there's help out there. Man, I believe we ought to help. And I believe in giving people a hand up. But this junk that these people are doing now, sitting around when they could be doing something else, tell you that you won't find, and I've said it probably 10 times at least or more, you won't find God using a lazy man nowhere in that Bible. You won't find. You know what? That's even like... showing things in the Bible. The Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman." It's not easy comparing Scripture with Scripture. Y'all, I'll tell you something. The Bible talks about them that labor in word and doctrine. It's doctrine. Why? Because what we're going to see here in just a minute is these things here today, this is a lot of good verses, but dispensationally, they don't fit on you and I. So you know what we got to do? As we go, we'll meet Jesus and He'll show us the way. He'll show us the right way. But it's got to be His way. Now, it says, saying, "All hail," and they came and held Him by the feet and worshipped Him. That old Pope is just as demonic as the devil himself. Let's people come up there and kiss His feet. You know what? There's some men in this room, you work. You'd have to be bad, bad perverted to let another man kiss your ring. I'm gonna tell you something. That you know, you ever seen on them old video that old Pope? I was watching some documentaries, and he'll hold that ring out like this right here, and a man come up there. Brother, that guy is out farther than the pitcher's mound. He's come out of the ball field. Letting people, only the Lord Jesus Christ is worthy of such. You know what he's doing? He's counterfeiting the Lord's what he's doing. I tell you this right here, I'd hate to be the Pope and meet the Lord Jesus Christ without the shed blood of the... You imagine that Pope coming up there, and he's just a weak little frail thing anyhow. And he comes up there and just so... And the Lord says, "I want to know why you let people kiss your feet." That's a scary thought. You know what? Only the Lord Jesus Christ is worthy of such affections. Brother, I tell you something. He's worthy of everything we can do. Everything. But now men don't deserve the same credit, the same honor. That's why the Bible says all the glory, honor, and praise goes to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the old flesh try to do? The old flesh to try to take glory that belongs to the Lord only. You know who answers our prayers? God does. Who lets us sit here today? God does. And that's a blessing. Why? I'd rather it be in His hands than anybody else's hands. It says in verse 10, "Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." I find it amazing that how Jesus works. It says, "Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid." You know, people say, "I just don't fear Jesus." Here's the Lord. I'm sure He didn't have a sword in His hand or anything. But they seen Him after this resurrection, and it scared them. I mean, you think, they watched Him get crucified. What a man. What a man. Come up from the dead, conquer death, hell, and the grave. I mean, you got to think about it. Y'all, they watched Him get beat brutally. So much so that when he was on the cross, the Bible said his visage was more marred than any man. His face was so messed up from the beating, you couldn't recognize him. And man, they see him, he's just in a glorified body. Man, it terrified them. They realized, this is God. I'm speaking to God. Man, that's amazing. Amazing. It says in verse 11, "Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money." You know, people say, that's still, you know, 10 large or something like that. Or people say, man, that's big money. Well, they get that from the Bible. It says, gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, excuse me, "Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept." Why would they even want to lie about that now anyway? Seemed like they'd come up and say, "Look, that man that rose from the grave, I don't care what y'all say. That guy is something unworldly, otherworldly. We're going to follow him and not y'all." But that shows you, though, large money. That shows you what the loss... It's amazing how you can take money and give it to a person with a good heart, and that person with a good heart do something good with it. But you know, at the same time, money can show you your heart. You take money and somebody with a bad heart, and the Bible says money's not evil. It's just a transitory thing. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. The devil knows he can buy a lot of folks. You know, there's been people in the Bible who couldn't buy. It's like, Naboth? He said, "Not for sale." Ahab said, "I want to buy your vineyard. I'll give you a garden of herbs and stuff like that." He said, "Not for sale. Look, my father's had that thing passed down from me. It's not for sale." So there's been people down through there that the devil couldn't buy off. But you see this right here, how some people just go off for something temporary. It's just temporary. What I'm saying is, what we've got, the best thing to do is just give it to the Lord, because He can handle it better than us anyway. Say, "Lord, whatever's mine is yours, and Lord, I want to use it for you." But see, you think about these guys right here, it's not written, but unless they trusted Christ, every one of them took that temporary deal. And now here they are in hell. I mean, it just ain't worth it. Verse 14, and if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. Look at that. I mean, you think you place your trust in their hand? Those old wicked, hey, there's enough that they betrayed an innocent man. Do you think I'd trust them? They say, "Hey, man, don't worry about Whippersnapper. He'll make sure you're secure." I just bet you will. You'll leave me. You'll kick me right under the bus. You know what goes on? You can see, you know, a lot of people, they worry about, man, oh, so-and-so, this liberal crowd's doing this and all this. Y'all, they eat their own anyway. As soon as they're done with one of them, the other one devours the other one. You know what they do? They bite and devour each other and rip each other apart. And as soon as one gets in the way of the other, they kick him under the bus. You don't have to worry about them. They eat their own. That's what the devil does. You know what lions do? See, the lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus Christ, does right. He's like the lion over in the millennium who's able to do right. Now, but at the same time, he's got power to devour all the rest of them like grass. While all flesh is grass, people say, "Well, the lions in the millennium eat grass." Well, the Lord can tear up any flesh you've ever seen in your life. But what I'm saying is, I used to watch a lot of National Geographic and stuff like the animals and alligators, and those lions would devour one another. You know what? The devil's is a roaring lion. You know what he does? They just like that right there. They devour each other. We don't have to worry about it. Let them deal with themselves. They'll tear each other up. You give them time. The Bible says, verse 15, "So they took the money and did as they were taught." See, they're taught to speak like that. Somebody's teaching them how to speak. You wonder why a lot of these folks, you say, "Why are they saying that? They know that's wrong." They're getting paid, man. Somebody's teaching them what to say. Somebody's telling them what their puppets on the string. That same thing that went on then is the same thing that goes on today. A lot of people say, "I just can't explain it." You know they know that ain't right. Yeah, they know it's not right. They're getting money for it. They're getting kickbacks and stuff like that. And they're doing as they're taught. Somebody's telling them what to say. Right there in the Bible. Don't have to question it. They're just being taught. It said, "And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day." Bunch of lies being spread. That's all it is. Now, verse 16. "Then the 11 disciples..." So now the context here is disciples. Now, the 11 disciples had things that they were given that they didn't know anything about that was revealed to the Apostle Paul. So we're going to be in the context here of the disciples, and they're still, right now, the Apostle Paul hadn't been saved, and the Lord Jesus hadn't revealed to him the doctrines of the body of Christ. So we got to see this commission right here, this given, is people say, well, we go by the Great Commission. We have a commission that's different, and I guess you can label it great if you wanted to. But y'all, a lot of people are supporting people who go by the so-called Great Commission. If you go by the wrong one, if you go by these commissions right here, you get messed up. Why? You have to rightly divide. Now, before I go over this Great Commission so-called here, I want to make sure you know what our commission is today. So people think, well, man, you don't think we ought to get the gospel in all nations? No. But we've got to make sure our commission is set aside from this commission, because if we don't, we'll go by the wrong thing and end up supporting all people that believe all kind of the craziest things, and people believe in speaking in tongues and all kind of stuff. So I'll show you. So hold your place here and look at Acts chapter number 13. Acts chapter 13. Now this is after the Apostle Paul's been saved. And the Lord showing, you know, revealing him to these mysteries. Now the mysteries were there according to Romans 15, I think verse number 26. But they didn't know they were in there, and the Lord had to start revealing them. And Paul, he revealed them there to Paul, and Paul wrote them down, and so that's how we know them today. They're written in the Bible, and so we got these records. But watch this in Acts 13. Look at verse number 47. It says, "For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." Now, the reason you got to get that is, he wants everybody unto the ends of the earth to be saved. But Paul has to make sure he puts Gentiles in there. Why? Because at this time, still, all they knew was the Bible said, the Lord said, go not in the way of the Gentiles. He told His disciples, do not go to the Gentiles, but go first to the house of Israel. Now, we've got to make that distinction right there. Other people say, well, I'm following the Bible. Well, you got to make sure you make that distinction. Here's another one. Turn to Acts chapter number, I think it's going to be in 26. Acts 26. Here's our commission is so simple. We want to get the gospel out. And y'all, for that matter, at this time, they didn't know anything about the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They couldn't even believe He rose from the dead. They couldn't believe, like, when He rose, they were like, what in the world? So, you know what we're supposed to do? Our commission is get that gospel of the grace of God out, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, to as many people as we can get out. And it's so simple. Acts 26, it says this in verse 20. This is where Paul's talking about what was shown to him by the Lord. In verse 20 it says, "But showed first unto them at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles," what? "That they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance." Now, it's so simple that all we have to do is, in that verse right there, the definition of repentance is given in that verse. Repent is to turn. People say, well, you know, you need to get saved, repent of all your sins. Man, I couldn't ever remember all my sins. Yo, I've done so many sins. I had sinned so much, there's no way I could say, Lord, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. But you know what? If you'll repent of your sin of unbelief and say, Lord, I wasn't believing on You, I'm trusting You now, I know I'm a sinner. That covers everything. I believe You died for all my sins. You know what? If you'll trust the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone, salvation is imparted to you immediately. And then after that, He said, works meet for repentance. Why? Because man can't see the heart. All man can see the outward. But works have nothing to do with our salvation. Y'all, this is one thing a lot of people have trouble. They say, well, you just teach. Once you're saved, you always say, that's exactly right. Because it's not that I teach it, it's that the Bible teaches it. Now, this is what a lot of people have trouble with. God gives you free grace, and if you trust Christ and don't do another thing the rest of your life, You're still saved. Why? It's not of works, lest any man should boast. That's what people don't understand. All right, you got some of these people, they get saved and things happen, and there are things like this happen. They get in the hospital and they're bedridden the rest of their life. Are they still saved? Yeah. Are they doing anything? No. They still saved. You got some of these folks, y'all, and I know it may not happen as much as what people say about it, but it does happen. Some people get saved on their deathbed. It's not of works. They got saved without water baptism and stuff like that. But now in the next dispensation, they have to get water baptized. They have to. Now you say, why is it? They say, all right, and I've had people ask, okay, if they have to get water baptized, because that's part of that kingdom program, they say, what if somebody's laying on their deathbed then? Well, guess what? Whoever witnesses to them, they've got that apostolic power again, according to Revelation, and they can raise them up. Peter and Simon Peter and the rest of them, they were raising people up, man. That one guy in Acts chapter number 3, he's laying there at the gate, beautiful, and you know what he does? Yelling up. He says, silver and gold have I none, such as I have, give I thee. And the man got up. Why? Because we're under a different program now. You take some of these people, and they can quote Acts 2:38 so fast. It's like, y'all remember the micro machine commercials? And that guy was, and they said, man, repent, be baptized, everyone in your name, Jesus Christ, for remission, sin, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they still said all that stuff fast, and they say, what do you think about that verse? I said, that's not for me. It's that simple. What do you mean that's not for you? Apostle Paul hadn't been saved yet. They were still preaching that the kingdom of heaven was at hand, which it still was, because Stephen hadn't been stoned. You know what Apostle Paul said? If I'll trust the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. I give them that. Say, look, I'm saved. And that's it. I don't have to go down and, you know, get in the water and nothing like that. Look, that don't have nothing to do with salvation. That has to do with you following the Lord. You got to get that straight. Well, now I'm going to give you what he says over here in this commission. I'll go over several verses with you about this. So back to Matthew 28, verse 17, it says, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. That's amazing how you still have some doubted. But that's going to be always. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You got some that, yeah, you can preach till you're blue in the face. Some people are going to believe and some people are going to doubt. And Jesus said, all power is given to me. You know what I like about that? You know what that Bible says of us? The Bible says in Romans, we're joint heirs with Christ. You know what I'm doing? I'm sitting here looking at a bunch of gazillionaires. Gazillionaires. Well, you say, well, I hadn't got it yet. Yeah, it's not time yet. I mean, you think about it. Some of these people are heirs to great fortunes, and they won't get it till later on down the road. Well, with us, we'll get it when the time is right, when He comes back and takes over the kingdom and everything else. And He says, all power is given me heaven and in earth. We've got spiritual blessings in heaven. But some people say, well, the body of Christ won't have nothing to do with earth. He said all power in heaven and in earth, and we're joint heirs. So guess what? I get a part of both that. Well, I'm joined to Him. You can't get no closer than being joined to somebody. So it's all ours. So you see over there, and you walking down through here, and you say, man, I'd like to hunt on that land. Post it. Well, one of these days, we'll own it all anyway. I'll let you have it for a few more years. Y'all, everything. You don't realize how rich you are in the Lord. Filthy, filthy, rich, man. And I don't even want to put the word filthy in there. We just say that. It's clean rich. How about that? Clean rich in the Lord. All right, so he says this in verse 19. Now, here's the so-called Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, I like those verses just as well as anybody does, but I know this right here. For one thing, when you compare Pauline, he says teaching. You know what? Paul tells you, you got these people, and they say, this is the commission for us. Well, no wonder that you Catholics and stuff like that, they all take like more of a teaching aspect of preaching. They don't hardly put you under conviction or nothing like that. Listen to what Paul said about the last days of the church age. He told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, preach the word. Verse 2. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, because they're not right and dividing, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Why? Because look, this right here, this commission, it's in the Bible, but it was to the 11 disciples. It's a kingdom commission teaching. You know what? With us, a preacher is supposed to be able to apt to teach, but he's supposed to preach the word. There is supposed to be a preaching there. Y'all, I'm going to tell you, if we get to the place where we leave out the preaching, we have sunk it, man. Why? Because the Bible said, but in due times God hath manifested His word through preaching. Preaching. Some of the greatest help I have gotten has been through sermons preached. Some of the greatest help. I can name you, and I've told y'all before, but there's turning points in my walk with the Lord after sermons. When I heard David Peacock preach, I can tell you where I was, what I was doing, when I heard him preach on fruit inspectors. It completely changed my view of the Bible. Man, you talking about on my toes. I said, oh, Lord. And man, I had started preaching at the time. But I'm going to tell you something. That sermon right there helped me in ways. And you know what? It keeps me. I still listen to it about once or twice a year just to remind myself of it. Why? It keeps us from putting other people in bondage. You know what I've learned? I'm not the standard. You're not the standard. Jesus Christ is the standard. When we say, well, they're not behaving like we are. Y'all, we're getting so much of that. Some people got some things figured out I don't have figured out. I may have some things figured out they don't have figured out. But that don't mean I'm better than they are because I do a couple things they don't do. They may be doing some good things I'm not doing. When we get over here and say, oh, so-and-so, oh, I know what they don't pray enough. Well, maybe you don't have enough grace. Maybe you don't have enough just simple kindness about it. Look, all of us, man, I'll tell you something, every one of us need the grace of God for every step we take. And look, there are sermons, I'm just showing you, there are different things here. As far as the Great Commission here, he says, go to all nations, all right, baptizing them. Now, you know what the Bible says, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:17? He said, Christ sent me not to baptize. Now, baptism cannot be a part of our salvation because he said, not to baptize, and in the very next phrase he said, but preach the gospel. That separates the gospel, the grace of God, the death, burial, and resurrection from water baptism. Alright, so guess what? In the church age, when you trust Christ, you're baptized or immersed or placed in the body of Christ. You have a spiritual baptism. Now then you get into this thing where some people say, well, you're just not supposed to baptize at all. I've talked to them before, and look, a lot of them are real good right dividers. But I've talked to them, and I had one guy, he emailed me one time, and he said, well, I thought you was, believe in right division. I said, well, I do. Why? He said, well, you said one time y'all water baptized. I said, well, we do. He said, well, I thought you said you follow Paul. I said, well, I do. I said, well, don't you see how some people go too far? You have to rightly divide in moderation. And I said, well, can I ask you a few questions? He said, yeah, nice guy, just this nice man. And I said, was Paul our pattern? He said, yeah, because I'll give you verses. And then I said, well, did Paul baptize? He said, well, yeah. I said, was Paul water baptized? He said, yeah. I said, so what's wrong with me water baptized? He said, well, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. I said, yeah, but he did baptize. He separated because people had knew that kingdom gospel, Acts 2:38, and they were connecting the two when Paul was separating the two and saying, water baptism is not the gospel. It's not part of it. Why, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and y'all, Church of Christ use it, Charismatics use it. Look, I've got some close relatives, and they think if you hadn't got down in the waters, you're not saved. I'm saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it has to do, it's a baptism of repentance with the kingdom because they have to show with that water baptism. It's more of a public thing, saying, I'm getting down in here like they're supposed to. That's why the scribes and Pharisees wouldn't get down that water. It was a public thing. Why? They have to do it openly. They've gotten to the place they've rejected their Messiah, y'all. And when they get out there in that tribulation, the Lord wants them to publicly get down there in front of everybody. And it's a baptism of repentance. That's what it says over and over and over. But with us, y'all, you got soldiers and stuff like that. I've heard stories. Some of these guys, they'll be out there, and man, there's no water anywhere around. I'm sure Brother Kerry can tell you. And man, there's no water around there. Guess what? They trust Jesus Christ, and a couple days later get shot. No water baptism. Guess what? Go straight to heaven. Straight to heaven, man. Why? You've got to have that. Now, here's the thing, too. This has to do with right division. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, when He said, go preach to all nations, you know when we get baptized, there's nothing wrong with us. We say, I'm baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Why? The Gentiles are the nations. He said of the Jews over in Numbers, He said, you shall not be reckoned among the nations. So the Jews there, that's why in Acts 2, He said they baptized them in the name of the Lord. Now I know I'm giving y'all a lot at one thing, but I'm trying to show you that there's differences there. And if we don't rightly divide our Bible, some people just take that Bible and just take a verse, take a fit, man. Well, he's talking to a guy out here, and I know we didn't say nothing, but he's like, I don't know about this outline and all these messages and all this stuff. Some people just need to get up there and just preach. Brother, you better study. You better get up there and study. You don't get up here and expect people to sit in front of you for 40 minutes and not having studied and pray. Just get up there and just take a verse. You won't think. But anyway, so you got to be sensitive in certain times. But man, you better. The Bible commands us to study His Word. I'm just. Some of these folks, y'all, you take some of these pastors. And they get up here and, man, expect their folks to learn. But you're supposed to study the Bible so you can give your people something to feed on. And so I'm just showing you some differences here. So we do that. Now, that's fine there. But now here's a couple things about these great commissions. The same thing. He's given another commission. Look at the end of the Gospel of Mark. Take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 16. See how much time I got left. Man, alive. I don't like it, man. I don't like running out of time. Y'all are so good to me. I poured water all over my suit. I'm glad y'all didn't see that. Yeah, that's right. I poured it all over the front of my suit, man. The thing about these commissions are, here's the Gospel of Mark, and it's recorded here, what he tells them. And look at this thing again. I just want to show you, because if we're going to teach the Bible, we got to teach. A lot of these people, they like to pick and choose. Well, all I got to do is, Paul said, well, I'm an apostle to the Gentile, and I just look at my Bible through Pauline epistles, and if something contradicts my mail for today, all I got to do is say, that's not for me today. I eat plenty of pork. Now, people say, pork's bad for you. Well, under the law, they couldn't eat it. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to eat me a little bit of bacon now. I'm going to, like in the wintertime, I'm going to take some deer meat, and my daddy's going to cut that deer meat up, and he's going to roll it up like this right here. He's going to cut that tenderloin in strips, and he's going to roll it up like this right here. He's going to take a piece of bacon like that right there, put a toothpick through it, and put it up on that grill, and we're going to eat us some deer rolls. Man, you're talking about good. And I can do that. But y'all, under the law, they couldn't do that. Now look, verse 14, Mark 16, and afterward he appeared unto the 11. Well, Judas went to hell or went to his own place, and you got the 11 left. As they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Watch this. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Watch this. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, am I going to go out here and preach that? It says, I've heard people explain it all with emphasis on belief and all that stuff. But y'all, that verse says, I've learned, people can say what it really means and all that stuff, but the verse says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, I've talked to Church of Christ and stuff, and I've got some family member, but you know what you have to do? That's to the 11, that's their commission. Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Paul is separating water baptism from the gospel. So you got either the Bible contradicts, or you got different mail for different people. Why? Because the doctrines that Paul has hadn't been revealed to him yet, because he wasn't even saved yet with the body of Christ. Now, here's what you have to realize. It says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils." Now, if we're going to do the Great Commission, you got to do both of them. Both of them, are we going to cast out devils? Man, I'll tell you something. Man, some of these folks, I have one guy, and probably it's been, let's see, 2017, 16, let's see, he left in 2000. I'm trying to get my dates right. 2015, I had a guy say that he could cast out devils. I told him, I said, "Where have you been reading it at?" And he's telling me something. I said, "You better stay away from that stuff." And he's studying all these Illuminatis and all this stuff and everything. That guy's got so indelved and all that stuff. Let me tell you, that guy has literally lost his mind. Why? You better leave this stuff alone. You know what? When I get to thinking about devils and the devil and all that stuff, Lord Jesus, you help me. Well, I'll let the Lord handle Luke. None of us can. They had apostolic power given to them by God to be able to do this. Well, I don't fool with that stuff. Anything demonic, Ouija board, if I know a Ouija board in somebody's house, I'll leave the house. That's how much serious. You used to, I didn't think much about this stuff, but I know this right here. I know that I need the Lord Jesus Christ helping me. And this stuff not for me. Now, here's another thing it says. "They shall speak with new tongues." Now, in Revelation, you know that commission, once the church age is over, this stuff's going to pick right back up where he left off. And they're going to go out all the world, and they're not even going to have to learn a new language. They'll just be able to automatically speak Spanish. They'll be able to automatically speak German. They'll be able to automatically speak French and Latin and whatever else. He said they're going to do that. Well, they don't do that today. But see, the Pentecostals take a few of these things right here, but they don't take the other, because they say, all right, they shall take up serpents. Well, a few of them still do that, but they get bit and you see them on the news. But watch this. "And if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." The Pentecostals will take all of it, but the one where they drink any deadly thing. They say the rest of it, but they're drinking deadly thing. See, they can hide the other. You see how some people pick and choose what they... You either take it all or you take none of it. Some people, like your Church of Christ, they'll come in there and say, "Well, only the water baptism part is for us, because when the Bible was finished, it ruled all that other stuff out." No, that's not true. That says what it says to who it's saying to. What I'm trying to show you this morning is it'll take the chains off of you if all you do is say, when somebody says, "Well, Mark 16 says," said, "Now who's that to?" A lot of they go, "Well, who's it to? It's to me." No. What's the context of the passage? And then a lot of times you can help someone. Sometimes you can, but some of them, they won't listen to you. Say, no, what happened was, that's the kingdom of heaven right there. The kingdom of heaven was still at hand. So Christ gave them a special commission. Now that the church age is interjected, one of these days, we're going to be out here in the rapture of the church, and that stuff will pick back up. He'll pick back up with Israel where he left off, because the kingdom is at hand, and he's given them special power to bring in that kingdom. We're not bringing in no kingdom. I'm telling you something, man. If anybody sees the way this earth is going and they think they're bringing in a kingdom, man, they ought to be bad disheartened. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will do it His way. But man can't do it. So, I got a few things that I got on my sheet and I never get to here. I wanted to give you, like, for instance, under the gospel of the kingdom, look what all they've got under that thing. They had to have the baptism of repentance, which was repenting and confessing baptism. Like in Mark chapter 1, I was looking at some of the verses this morning. In Mark chapter 1, the Bible said they would come down to get baptized and confessing their sins. Well, you know that's different than what people... You imagine, nobody want to come to baptism. Coming down there confessing their sin, you imagine that? All right, but that's a different thing. Here's one thing that they don't put under this. Everyone, Jesus said, "You go and teach them all that I've commanded." You know what Jesus told them? "Sell all that you have." I've got so many verses down here, Luke 12 and all these other. He'd tell them over and over and over, sell all they have. You know what in Acts 2 they were doing? Selling all they have and having all things common. They had a Christian communism. Well, you know what you have today? You got these crazy people, and they'll come in. Well, you're just supposed to have equality in everybody. These people's working real hard. They need to give us half of what they're doing. You better keep your hand out of my pocket. Why? Because, man, it's not right. Now, we know we can't help things, but I'm just saying this is some of the stuff that people get. Now, here's another thing. You had to forgive others that sinned against you, according to Matthew 6, 12, 18, 21 to 35, and so on and so forth. He said, you forgive others and the Father forgive you. Look, my forgiveness of the Father is not based on me forgiving others. My forgiveness is based on I've trusted Jesus Christ and He's forgiven me all my trespasses and sins. There's differences here. They had to maintain good works. They had to do all kind of things, meet for repentance. They had to love their enemies, bless them that curse them. They had to bring forth fruit to abide in God's love or be cast in the fire. People forget these things. Y'all, that's none of this stuff is to us doctrine. That ought to liberate you. Man, it could go on. I'll try to finish it out next time, but I see that people are waiting out there. But y'all, this ought to liberate us to know, hey, there are some neat things in here. But at the same time, they had a commission given to them, and we've got a commission given to us. And if we do what's given to us, it'll take the chains off and make things a whole lot easier on us because we can't keep all this stuff. Look, I don't have the power to do that. But one of these days, we'll be out of here and God's going to give us a whole bunch of people in the tribulation power to be able to do that so they can keep those things. And God will pick up where He left off and finish it out. Let's close out.